to the Lawyer Life Experiment. Have you ever wondered if work-life balance is really possible for a lawyer? We have too. So let's put it to the test. Join us as we experiment with proven tips and tricks to address everyday lawyer problems. I am Anya Smirnova.
And I am Frida Levitsky.
Today's topic is going to be reflect back and bounce forward. But before we explain exactly what that's all about, we're going to reflect back on how we did with our last experiment, which was all about routine. So, Anya, do you remember what our experiment was and what we promised we would try and do?
The experiment was to keep a diary for 3 days to understand whether you have a routine, then pick one thing you want to change in your routine, either develop a new habit or change an existing one. There is learning in everything, including in not doing an experiment. What did I learn from not doing it? I didn't commit. Reflecting generally on my days, I definitely have a routine. I have 2 young kids who are now 6 and 3, and to manage getting them to different places in the morning, doing my work and doing something for myself, and then having children back at home and getting them to bed and having some us time with my husband. Yes, for the last 7 years almost, we've been living in quite a strict routine.
Yeah.
What I recently noticed, my husband said I started to work more in the evenings, and this is exactly what I was remembering about my time as a lawyer.
Yeah.
I think I try to collapse a lot of unfinished projects into the same amount of time I have, and so
yeah,
sometimes it stretches into the evening. So indeed. That was my
what's the non-experiment
name? That was my non-experiment. How was yours, Frida?
So I did the writing stages. So what I basically realized was that my working weekdays, although they're not the same activities, there is a routine framework that exists, which you kindly pointed out last week, which you absolutely I proved to myself over the last few weeks. So yes, that those working days are quite structured. The activities are definitely different. I've also realized that part of that, the reason I don't view it as a routine, is that I view coaching still as something that I find as so much fun and creativity that it still doesn't feel like traditional work, which law does, which I found really quite insightful. And then I realized how varied and completely unroutined my weekends are. There is nothing routine about those, which I love, to be honest, and particularly December time, where everything is just so, well, November, December, everything's so crazy. My activity that I wanted to bring in more of was, funnily enough, I realized I was doing the same as you and working more into the evenings to try and fit more in before the Christmas break. I wasn't spending as much time out with the dogs, which I know has huge benefits for me. So I wanted to build in an extra hour, and I managed to do it on the Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday of that two-week gap. And I felt really good after it. I forget how much benefit stepping away from that computer is to rejig and restart that flow of work and inspiration and energy when I get back into something. So that's what I saw, and I did find it really beneficial.
That's great. Actually, by hearing you speak about like trying to cram in more work in December, I'm thinking, is my learning also about expectations? How much you take on yourself? And we all know that December gets busy and busy. And sometimes there are tasks that depend on other people, like your clients or the projects that started at work. But we also have control over things we take on ourselves. For example, how much you take on yourself in terms of planning Christmas. I think we always have a choice of how much we take on. And sometimes I'm quite wise, seeing in a bigger picture, and sometimes I'm like, I definitely need to finish this. I committed to that. And I don't give myself an opportunity to review and to be flexible sometimes.
Well, I do think that that is a perfect segue into today's experiment. As I said at the very beginning, what we want to talk today about is reflecting back and bouncing forwards. And the reason that we have decided that this is a good topic for December rather than January is that we all have this, when we've had a difficult year, particularly, and 2020 has been out of this world of difficult, is we talk about bouncing back and getting back and on the rejuvenating and becoming resilient and this, that, and the other. And we make all of these resolutions, usually around the 30th, 31st of December, when everybody remembers we're supposed to be making resolutions.
Or worse, the 1st of January.
Yes, exactly. 1st of January, and you're like, oh, come on, I've got to think of something. I mean, come on, how many crazy resolutions have you made? The point is they're not usually sustainable for very much more than 2, 3, 4 weeks in January. So we wanted to look at that and see how we make more sustainable resolutions.
I definitely have been in that area of not crazy. I think I was more in the area of like boring standard resolutions of trying to become fitter, subscribe to gym memberships in January. And on one occasion, 1 year, making a commitment not to become the one who drops down in February. So I think I lasted until April.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
So to me, it was more about wasted money and short-term thinking.
Did you have an ultimate goal? Or was it just, I want to lose weight? Really kind of intangible and just non-specific.
I can't even remember. There was not much thought going into it. It was like an emotional momentum thing, and probably done in a moment when you feel you overate, you didn't move much. You start thinking, well, after Christmas, the next thing is summer holiday. The next good thing.
Six months.
You need to prepare for those shorts and dresses. But I want to hear about your crazy resolutions. I have a feeling that you had some really crazy ones.
What did I do? The typical one. So last year was quick carbs for January because I'd completely overindulged on pasta, cake, all the sweet things, too much booze over Christmas last year. That lasted 2 weeks. I got bored. I decided that I didn't actually need to lose that much weight by 2 weeks because my mindset had completely changed, which is basically what happened the 3 years before when I gave up alcohol for January. Short-term goal, though, at least I learned I wasn't giving it up for the entire year, which was a benefit. The craziest one, I suppose, that I did was, gosh, I must have been 22. 1st of January, I was sitting watching, gosh, I was living in London, so I was just about to start being a lawyer. It was my first year of my training contract. And 1st of January, I was like, again, overindulgence mindset, everything from Christmas. But we were also planning holidays on that day with my ex-boyfriend at the time. And I said to Pete, I'd really like to go to New York. I've never been to New York. And he said, okay, well, maybe we'll go later in the year. And I said, well, maybe I can run the New York Marathon at the same time. Now, I have not run more than a mile at this time. And so I signed up on the 1st of January for the New York Marathon, obviously trained for the first 2 weeks of starting to run a little bit more, gave up for 6 months, got to September, did two runs around Hyde Park Corner and the Royal Parks in the middle of London, hated the second of those. Then I went off to New York and did a 5-hour marathon, hated every second of it. And I'm not, what does that teach me? One, zero forward planning, zero understanding of what I was getting myself into, zero commitment, which is what, funnily enough, you were saying about the previous experiment, and just really no forethought or vision as to why I was doing it, what I was doing it for, or what I was going to gain out of it in the long run.
Do you remember how you felt on that New Year day when you thought that was a good idea?
Oh, I was quite excited. I felt very excited that I was going to go to New York. And I was going to tick off another thing on my to-do list, which is run a marathon.
It was like a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But not necessarily your cup of tea.
It's 100% not my cup of tea. Road running still is not my cup of tea. I've tried it once again 10 years later and I ran the Paris Marathon. And I was still like, yeah, I don't like road running. I don't know why I was putting myself through.
You know, I think lots of New Year resolutions come from shopping someone else's lists. And someone else's lists come from shopping someone else's lists. And it becomes this magic or doomed circle. It kind of sounds like a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I agree with that. Or it's somebody that everyone's challenging each other in a game to see who can lose the most weight.
Yeah.
Manage the most number of days doing X, Y, and Z. And you're like, okay, I'll participate in that. Sounds quite cool. And then you're like, oh, great.
And sometimes it works really well when you're doing it in a group. You actually become more committed and it becomes fun. But then we sometimes commit and then we regret and we don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
But the older we become, the more responsibilities we get, the time becomes more scarce. And that's where we need to be honest with ourselves and with our friends and say, actually, it's not a fit, but I will be there, guys.
I'll be supporting you. Yeah. That's a really good point, what you were just angling at, which is we make these commitments or we make these promises to ourselves, because resolutions are fundamentally promises. We think we're committing to doing something, which without much thought process, we are going to inevitably fail at doing. You know what we're like, particularly as lawyers, is we don't like failing. Anything that we fail at becomes something that we often find, particularly when we're quite high achievers, that failure becomes much more personal. It has a much more damaging effect on us than just, oh, I didn't manage to achieve it. It's, I'm not good enough. I can't even manage that. I'm not worth it. I don't care enough about myself. And there's quite a negative connotation that can sit with that type of failure.
And when we were chatting before starting to record, you were saying a very interesting point that we start to think about the resolutions from this place of punishment. Can you expand on that?
So if you think about that, we haven't talked about anything other than something that was a punishment as what we had decided to set ourselves as resolutions. So we've overindulged, we've overdrunk, we've overeaten, we've oversat on the sofa watching TV, we've under-exercised, there's lots of things that we don't do during a holiday period because we have relaxed. We're allowed to do things where we overindulge and walk away from our status quo. But the minute we get to January and we set these resolutions, they're all short-term, measured resolutions based on exactly the current state of affairs and those previous 2 weeks. All it is punishing ourselves for actually having a really good time for the weeks before. I mean, there must be something completely wrong psychologically for all of us to be going, actually, that was Christmas. Let's just enjoy it for Christmas. No, we now need to beat ourselves up and get ourselves back in shape. And come on, we've got to conform to society standards of what we need to look like and what we need to do. And it does. It feels like a punishment. And that in itself really ends up being part of the reason we resist doing the things that we've set ourselves to do, because there's no fun in it, there's no joy in it, and there's no long-term benefit in us doing it because we haven't thought about what the benefit is.
Yeah, there is this cruel mentor on your shoulder, is yourself telling you off, and you already start in a negative place and you're not emotionally committed, you don't understand why you're doing it except that that's a punishment. You don't manage to finish it for that reason. Mm-hmm. So it all overall becomes a very time-consuming, possibly expensive experience that doesn't get you anywhere.
Exactly.
Having talked about the negative ones, have you ever had a good New Year resolution in the sense that it was positive, efficient, progressed you forward?
Yes, the New Year resolution I set myself on the 1st of January 2017 had been set 3 months in advance. It was the year I took the year off, and it was to have fun, to do as much as I could that I couldn't do whilst I was working. So it was to fit in everything that I had wanted to do on that huge bucket list and see what I could do. And if I didn't fit it all in, it didn't matter. It was a year about me and a year about wanting to be a certain way and wanting to really realise who I was and the type of person I wanted to be. There was a vision of what I wanted to come out at the end, and there was so much enjoyment about what I wanted to do in that year.
It feels like it was very much on purpose.
Yeah.
You were committed to every word of it.
Gosh, yeah. And you?
I had 1 year when I really committed to myself to go out there and look for people outside of the legal profession.
I wish you could see me clapping.
Most of my friends are in the legal profession. Also, it is really refreshing to have diversity in your community and different ways of thinking about things. So it became very clear to me that that part was missing, that I wanted to meet more diverse people and open myself up to different kinds of conversations. It just happened to be that while on this intention to find people outside of the legal profession, I also met my husband. It was a very good year.
Yeah, I mean, in order to come up with that resolution, you had to have reflected, because, I mean, you don't suddenly, you can't just go, I need more friends outside of the legal world because I want more diversity. If you haven't actually sat down and gone, what is my current position? What's working? What am I lacking? What am I wanting to have more of in my life? It sounds like there was a real conscious decision of what that resolution should be.
Yes. Another year, and it was quite a transformational year because I was adjusting from being employed for all my professional life to being self-employed. And it's a completely different mindset. And with two small children, I was really struggling for time and for structure. I realized how much employment gives you a very clear structure and a confirmation that you're on the right track. So it was a really challenging year. And I sat in December and reflected on every area of my life, thinking, okay, what do I need and how do I want to show and how do I want to feel? And it became very clear. I kind of planned out where I want to be in the future and what I want to commit to. I realized it was very efficient for me to reflect at the beginning of December and the time when I still feel like I'm in the game. Okay. And then I felt very relaxed during the holiday time because I knew that when I crawl out of that holiday season, I have a plan.
I like that. So maybe that's what we do as our hypothesis then. We make our hypothesis around that. Because what it sounds like is that early December reflection is required for a New Year's resolution to be effective. We have to understand our starting point, which requires some reflection. And the earlier we can do that reflection before the Christmas holidays start, the better, because we're still in quite a focused mindset. And that will allow us to create resolutions which are more beneficial, more thought through, and therefore hopefully something that we can stick to as we enter into the new year.
You know, when you go to do some extreme sports, for example, they give you a mantra. If this happens, you need to do this. If you go rafting, they tell you, hold on to the side. Because when you get into the whirlpool, you don't have the calmness of thinking on the shore to understand what's the right thing to do. When you don't have the emotional and the mental energy to reflect, you just need to read what a wise person a month ago, yourself, planned for yourself.
Okay. Yeah. I think actually then the hypothesis is around vision. Our successes that we have seen to date are when we have had a purpose and we've had a clear vision of what we're trying to achieve.
Yes.
By setting a clear vision, which isn't reactionary, which what happens on the 31st of December, 1st of January, by having a clear vision that we set earlier on in December, it will make our resolutions more achievable because we will have a clear thought out direction of where we want to get to, even if we don't actually know the path on the way. Any time that we falter, we still have the big goal in mind.
Yeah, I like it. It's like planning on the shore before we get into the sea.
Yes, I like that. Yeah, just explain that metaphor a little bit more, because I do like that.
So to prepare yourself for the journey, it's good to plan while you're still on the shore to understand where you want to get to, where is the other shore, and having that vision will be like your compass. So even when things get difficult and stormy, that vision will be like your North Star.
And the nice thing about the vision is that it's a bigger vision. It's not super specific. I've got to lose weight. I've got to do something. It's a much broader vision, which allows for adaption and it allows for movement and change along the way, like any journey does. A little diversion here or there as we go. So I think that's the hypothesis and the experiment.
As an experiment, well, it's been a very challenging year, and I think many people feel that it didn't bring what it was supposed to bring. Mm-hmm. And knowing that our three good things experiment 2 episodes ago was quite successful, the first part of the experiment would be to reflect on the past year and acknowledge what good things happened in that year and pat yourselves on the back for getting to here and now. This will also help you understand where you are today at this moment. And the second part is prepare to bounce forward by creating the vision of the future. See yourself in 1 year's time and really take your time to feel and live yourself in 1 year's time. And remember that vision, and that will become your North Star. And from that place, commit to the journey of the year 2021. And this vision can become your guide in actually doing what is the next step I can do in that direction.
I like that. So we're going to reflect backwards. We're going to look at 2020, what we've actually achieved, what has been the good points, the positive things, the person we've become, the stranded ourselves this year, and give ourselves a pat on the back. But the bouncing forward part is we're going to really look at who we want to be and build on for the next year and who we want to be at the end of 2021. And we're going to look at, we can use all aspects of our lives. We can look at the roles that we play. We can look at, you know, our mother roles, our lawyer roles, our friendship roles, all of those roles, and actually just look at who do we want to be? Who do we want to be in a year's time? And then the third part of that, once we've got this lovely clear vision of the person we want to be, or we invite you to take a step or a couple of steps forward in how you start becoming that person.
And we will start our, so this is our last podcast for this year before holidays. And we will start next podcast in January by reporting to each other that we have a clear plan for 2021.
The front of my 2021 journal, that's where mine will be.
Excellent. Oh, that's a great place to find a place where they will be visible so that you can check in with that. I like that. This is the end of our podcasting for this year. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays.
Joyeux Noël.
С Новым годом. С Рождеством.
Feliz Navidad. Wishing everybody a very, very Merry Christmas. We hope you have a warm and happy and potentially a little quiet in Christmas and New Year, but a new year which is hopeful and full of love and festive spirit.
Cheers for that. That's it for this week's episode of the Lawyer Life Experiment Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. It was presented to you by Anya Smirnova and Frida Levitsky. Find our information and contacts in the podcast note. We love to hear your views on this podcast. Please reach out to us or use the link in the show notes to leave us a review. You can also subscribe and like and tell your friends about it. And have fun experimenting!